Turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. Very familiar scripture tonight. We want to look at it. We want to talk to you a little bit about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse number 1, beginning. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, that word simply means kill or put to an end. Therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Our text is a very, very, very first verse. We wanted to read more verses there. It's good reading and a good context. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Another companion text, we've got another text we want to use with that. It's found in Romans, chapter number 6, beginning at verse number 1. Read just a few verses. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Amen. Paul said in the Colossians, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Then he tells the Romans, we should walk in newness of life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has a remarkable analogy to it, to our being raised up from the depths of sin. Paul said, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And we know that Christ was raised by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about the mighty work and power of God in Ephesians, the 1st chapter, and he says in verse number 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Then he goes on to say in the very first verse of the 2nd chapter, and you hath he quickened, amen, or made alive, which were dead in trespasses and sins. Also, according to verse number 6, he's raised us up together and made us sit sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. We know that he was raised by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you and I were raised up to newness of life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Like as he has dominion over physical death, he gave us victory over spiritual death. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was real tonight. Somebody said, how do you know it's real? Well, number one, it's a historical fact. Also, it was declared by Jesus. Amen. In John 2:19, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. It was declared by the prophets. In Acts, the second chapter, verse number 29, Acts 2:29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriot David, that is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Also, it was declared by the angels. Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse number 5. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. What'd he say in the 6th verse? He's not here. Why? He is risen. Amen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. The 4 gospel writers, amen, declare, amen, the resurrection. The empty tomb. Also, he was seen by many witnesses. Mark the 16th chapter, verse number 14. Thank God tonight for the word of God. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Amen. Also was witnessed by the 2 men on the road to Emmaus. Amen. And lastly, amen, as I just mentioned, all gospel writers write, they all say the same thing. What? The tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. There are many tombs today that have been built to honor some great statesman. Amen. There's a tomb of King Tut. Amen. There are tombs in America. Amen. Tombs of kings, pharaohs. One of the 7 wonders of the world is the pyramids of Egypt. These pyramids were built to house the tomb of famous kings and of different pharaohs. But the tomb of Jesus Christ doesn't stand for weakness and defeat. It stands for victory and power tonight. Amen. It's because he lives that you and I are able to live tonight. Amen. It's because he lives that you and I can face the next day. Amen. Now, I've given many reasons why we should believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I've listed many infallible proofs. Amen. Yet there's one more reason that is more sure than all these others. And I'm going to read it to you out of 1 Corinthians 15 and 17. It says this, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Amen. Paul is saying that if Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead, then your faith actually is worthless. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, then it looked like he had been justly accused, and he would have been guilty of the charges. Amen. And if he had been justly accused, then there would be no atonement. Amen. And we'd still be under the power, condemnation, and guilt of sin. Paul and the other disciples preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a vital message of the church today. What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ prove? It proves this: truth is stronger than falsehood. Let me repeat it. Truth is stronger than falsehood. Turn with me to John the 8th chapter. John the 8th chapter, verse number 34, beginning. Says this: Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." And that was true when he said it, and it's true yet today. "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, amen, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I've seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you what? The truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham." Here we find that those who were an enemy to Jesus Christ, amen, in this text, were seeking to kill him. Amen. The reason is what? He told them the truth. Amen. They rested on the fact that they were Abraham's seed and were in the truth. Amen. But it was truth that cast down paganism. Amen. Took it out of the exalted position. Amen. In the hearts and in the minds of men. Amen. As the church went forth in the morning time to conquer and to conquer. Amen. Amen. Over the enemy and over paganism. Truth always wins out. Amen. Turn me to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah the prophet, one of the major prophets in the Old Testament. Isaiah the 28th chapter, and let's begin reading. Verse number 14. "Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule the people which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we made a covenant with death, and with hell are we in agreement. When the overflowing scores shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, righteousness to the plummet, and the hail, solid truth, shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over. By day and by night it shall be a vexation, only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it." Amen. "And the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it." Amen. Now we know this is a proverbial saying. And it means that, amen, that all the places of defense is insufficient when it comes to truth. Amen. They sought rest. They sought security as a man that lies down to rest at night. Amen. But they find neither. Amen. His bed that he lays on, amen, using this as an allegory, furnishes no rest. Amen. His coverings, amen, no security from the chills of the night. Amen. And so he was saying so it would be with those who were in false religion. Amen. And the promises of the false prophets. and the aid which may be attained from Egypt. And so it is with sinners. Amen. Sinners have many refuges out here today. Amen. It tries to shield them. The bed on which they seek rest shall give them, amen, no rest whatsoever. The covering which they seek to close themselves with, amen, shall not defend them from the wrath of God. Verse 15 said, they had made a covenant or an agreement with death. Otherwise, death couldn't harm them. They felt they were perfectly secure from evil and mischief of any kind. Otherwise, they're saying they had struck up a bargain with death. Amen. But the scourge was going to pass through. The scourge. What is a scourge? Well, the word actually means a whip. Amen. Let's go back and see how it was used. John, the second chapter. The scourge would pass through. John, the second chapter, verse number 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Amen. And there's where you, when you go to Jerusalem, you find trouble. And he found it. And he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge, a small cord, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And the disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thy house, amen, had eaten me up. Amen. Amen. So in Isaiah 28:17, the prophet said, judgment also will I lay to the lime, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. Amen. Divine judgments. Hiding places cannot, amen, be concealed from divine judgments. Truth will always root out falsehood. You know, do you know that good is stronger than evil? Doing good. The scripture says what? That Jesus went about doing what? Good. Let's read it. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, said in Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil. Why? Because evil would like to overcome you. But overcome evil with what? Good. Just keep on doing good. Doing what's right. Proverbs 12:2, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. The resurrection is proof that good is much stronger than evil. Also, what else does the resurrection prove? The resurrection is proof that love is stronger than hatred. Love is stronger than evil or hatred. If there was no resurrection, then it would be proof that hatred could conquer love. But Jesus Christ, we know, is the apex of God's love. He loved us, you and I, when we were full of all kinds of evil, all kinds of hatred. And he loved us when we were unlovable or when we were to place it, not too many people wanted to be around. God's love, amen, overcome the evil that was present in our lives. When it seemed like no one cared, no one wanted to be around us because of our, amen, our hateful ways, there was Jesus. With outstretched arms willing to receive us and also to change our lives. Matthew, the 5th chapter, I want to read this tonight. Begin at verse number 43. And here's what a lot of people have a struggle. Some people have such a struggle with feelings towards the enemy. Amen. That love can't work as it ought to work. But let's read what Jesus said. Verse 43. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor, hate thine enemy. Now listen to what he said. But I say unto you. Who said this? Jesus. I say unto you, love your enemies. Wow. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Amen. There's no way an individual can do this unless they are truly saved. Born of the Spirit of God. Why are you to do this? That you may be the children of your Father. That's how God's children act, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even publicans so? Be therefore perfect, what? In love, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now let's get into another one. If there was no resurrection, then we're still in our sins. 1 Corinthians 15 and 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Christ, I mentioned before, was raised with the same spirit that raised you and I up from a dead state of trespasses and in sin. We no longer are sinners. Now we know we're capable of committing sin. But if we don't want to, then we don't have to. What? Through the power of God. All because of the blood and the spirit of Jesus Christ. It's the blood. Amen. Sister Karen brought this out so wonderfully this morning. It's the blood that washes away every stain, every transgression, every sin you ever committed. Gone. Completely gone. The old life. Everything you did in the old life is gone. Amen. Romans 3:23. All have sinned, Sister Karen mentioned that, and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. What does propitiation mean? It means an atonement for sin. But you know, we get forgiveness through the blood. But it's the Spirit of God that quickens us. What do you mean? Gives us life. Ephesians 2:1, We read it earlier, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can love those whom we once hated and could not stand to be around. Love those we once hated. Amen. And did everything we could do to avoid them. God will help us to love them. Amen. I wonder how many people here actually pray for their enemy. That actually pray for the ones that they might have had problems with. God accepted Jesus Christ. We know he's a savior for the whole world. But then man enters into the picture, tries to change the word of God, make one think there's other ways to get into heaven. Man tries to water down the word just a little bit. Amen. And they make statements like, after all, man or woman shouldn't have to go in front of people and repent. So they make it easier. Amen. Out of the minds of carnal men comes church joining. And men say, at our church, we don't have to bow down and repent. All we have to do is make sure we're a member of a church. Amen. And we'll be all right. But nowhere in God's word does one find any scriptures to substantiate joining church. It's not in the Bible. Amen. You don't join the church. You're born into the church of God. Sin has to be repented of. Amen. If sins are not repented of, then you're going to face them. Face them out at the judgments. Amen. You're going to face them. You can't wash them away in water baptism. You can't wash them away like Brother Mike was supposed to have done this morning when he washed his hands as Pilate. You can't wash it away. Amen. Baptize them away. You can't rid yourself, amen, of them. Amen. Any other way than except through the blood of Jesus Christ. They must be repented of. You know, Acts 17th chapter, verse 30 says this. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And to repent means to turn. Have a change of mind. Travel the straight and narrow way instead of the broad way. What's it say? God has commanded. He's commanded. Amen. All men everywhere. He's commanded the churchgoers, the do-gooder, the lukewarm professor, the vilest of sinners. He's commanded all men everywhere to repent. Those brought up in the world of wealth, those brought up in the worst poverty, those who are learned and those who are unlearned. All men everywhere are commanded to repent. No one goes out of this world into the next, amen, without repentance. They're not going to enjoy eternity without repentance. Along with repentance, there has to be a forsaking of sin. When I was down in Haiti and its other places, and not only Haiti, but Kenya is probably the same way. When you preach down there in Haiti, the altars would line up. And I mean the altars stretched across the tabernacle. And they'd be about three deep. As one person got through praying, another one just moved up. But a lot of them came to confess. A lot of them were in Roman Catholicism, and they've been taught confessionals. Amen. But not all of these people repented or changed. Amen. See, there's a lot of people that confess, but along with confession comes a change. That what you confess of, you don't do it anymore. Amen. There has to be a forsaking of sin. And that's where the letdown is. Let's read a familiar scripture. One that you probably can quote. Found in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 28 and verse number 13. Most of you can quote it. He that covers his sins shall not prosper. I'm not talking about wealth now. I'm talking about you won't prosper with God. But whoso, or whosoever, confesseth and forsaketh him, shall, what? Shall receive or shall have mercy. Repentance covers more than confession. Repentance involves a change in the whole man. Most people don't have a problem confessing their sins. But you know where a lot of the problem is? Getting out of that seat and coming down an aisle and bowing at an altar of prayer. Some people are just too proud to do it. And pride's holding them right there. It'll hold you right there. Amen. Listen to the words of Jesus. Listen to what he says in Matthew 10, 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But, verse 33, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Do you know that pride is a terrible sin? It's a terrible sin. It's going to keep many a soul from entering the kingdom of God. If you're here tonight and want to be saved, then you can be. If you're here and truly sick of your sin, amen, and you can be made free from sin. But you know you have that choice. Amen. But like I said earlier in the message, the tomb is empty. The sacrifice has been given. He lives. He lives. So you and I can also live and have peace with God. Doesn't it seem good to be at peace with God? Not having God as your enemy. Having God as your friend. Amen. And because, like I said, he lives, we live. Three of the gospel writers, three of them use the expression, they're all saying the same thing, he's not here. God has accepted Jesus Christ as the supreme sacrifice for sin. Not only sacrifice for sin, but he's opened up a way where we don't have to live in sin any longer. Thank God. We can go free. Not freedom to do what, amen, whatever we want, but freedom to serve God with a clear conscience toward God and toward man. And I ask that question tonight. Do you have that freedom? Amen. That repentance gives tonight? Amen. And if not, would you like to have it? Just like Jesus came out of the tomb changed. The man who was filled with the legion of devils was changed. The apostle Paul was changed. We also are changed into a child of a king tonight. We no longer have to bow down to sin and the devil. We no longer have to be led around by the power of sin. God has got something better for you and I than that. All the gold in Fort Knox couldn't give you what repentance and confession can give you. In a moment of time. Amen. To those of you that are saved tonight, aren't you glad you're not getting led around by the devil like you did before? I used to get so sick of myself so sick, amen, and making promises and breaking them. I'm saying I'm going to do this and do that and do just the opposite. So tired, amen. I'm coming out of Rockwell International and turning to the right instead of the left. Amen. So tired of it. But yet it seemed like sin was my master. I was a servant of sin. Amen. Always going to change. Always throwing away the cigarettes. And then going buying more or retrieving the ones I threw away. Why? The bondage that's in sin. Thank God for freedom tonight. Why is that? Why are we free? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ tonight. Faith in the blood of Jesus Christ will deliver you from every sin. Every sin. Drugs. Alcohol. Tobacco. Swearing. Cursing. Unforgiveness. Revenge. Bitterness. Hatred. And if you had any other sin like it, amen, the blood will cover it too. You know, there's some people that say, I don't know if I would like to live the life of a Christian. You know what? You need to remember this. When you're truly saved, you're changed. And that means your thoughts, your feelings, the whole nine yards is changed. See, the things you didn't want to do, amen, you want to do. I can remember with my riding past God's Acres with my father-in-law and seeing people out here, amen, even during Bible school or camp meeting, whatever. And I used to almost feel sorry for these people. I said, here they are out there, churchgoers, and I had other words I could say about it. But I didn't want no part of it. But I'm glad I'm one of them today. Oh, brother, so glad. And I told you what when I got invited out. Brother out of this congregation worked at Rockwell with me, same department, and I met him. For some reason, God made sure I was introduced to him and met him. But when he invited me out, here comes the devil. And he had a few of them out at Rockwell. And one of those old devils come up to me and he said, you don't want to go out there. At that time was 6 and Locust Street. You don't want to go there. They was having a revival or something. And he said, you know, if you go out there, you've heard me say this before. He said, you know those people are holy rollers? Do you know they climb the walls out there? I said, boy, is that right? I said, oh, man. He said, they really get into it out there. So I went to the individual that invited me out, and I told him what he said. Well, he said, you know, that is a lie. He said, but why don't you do this? Come out and see for yourself. And I'm so glad I did. I am so glad I did. The life of the Christian is the best life. There's nothing that even comes close to the life of a Christian tonight. I've been out in sin along with others. Amen. Before they were saved. And nothing in this world. Listen to me, church. There's nothing in this world worth going to hell over. When people tell people to go there and use it in a slang, they don't realize what they're talking about. Nobody wants to wind up lost tonight. The suffering that's described in the Word of God, that wasn't put in there just to fill in the book of Luke. It's put in there for a reason. What? To warn you and I. Amen. That what lies out ahead of an unrepented life. Amen. People tonight, you need to get by the wife, the girlfriend, those close, the husband, drugs, alcohol, anything else that tries to take the place of Jesus Christ. There is no comparison in this life to any profession that comes close to the life of a Christian, amen, compared to the life of a sinner tonight. The tomb is empty. Thank God tonight for the empty tomb. You know what that means? Everyone here tonight has a right to be saved. Amen. And be free from the bondages of false religion, sin, vile habits, drugs, whatever you want to name. You can go free tonight. And as we bring the message to a close, thank God. Thank God tonight for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died, as Sister Karen put it this morning, he died so you and I could live tonight. Think of that. He died so you and I could live.